doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
And good morning to you on this wonderful Thursday, April 23rd already, 7:06 in the morning. So glad to be along with you on this wonderful day. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. News that you can use on this Thursday, and if today is your birthday, happy birthday to you. And if you have someone that you want to do a shout out in the morning, happy birthday to, let us know. We'd love to wish them a happy birthday. Looking at the area news, today's news brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. You can get a hold of him at 503-885-0789. Small businesses in rural cities band together to create their own delivery services. This news coming out of the Jefferson area. Seeing a downturn in business a few weeks ago and sensing it could get worse, Saniam Market and Deli owner Megan Schuster rallied a group of small business owners throughout their city to discuss options to reach their regular customers. A week later, Jefferson Deliveries launched with a seven small businesses in Jefferson. That's great news. In the Silverton area, there's also some news coming out. Silverton Police Chief Jeff Falsholm is retiring. The Silverton Police Department announced on Friday he will step down on June 1st and has been the police chief since 2012. Started working for the city nearly 33 years ago, according to the press release. Silverton Police Captain Jim Engelmeyer will be stepping up into the role permanently after the retirement. The department has 17 sworn officers. And here in Oregon, 595 Oregon cases considered recovered of the COVID-19. At least 595 out of the 1853 survived COVID cases in Oregon are now considered recovered, with a status of 576 cases still being investigated by the public health staff, according to the Oregon Health Authority. Officials say a person is recovered once a person is free of fever without the use of fever-reducing medication, a cough and shortness of breath for 72 hours. Staff are contacting each person by phone to determine recovery status and will continue to call each week until they are recovered. Cases without symptoms are considered recovered 7 days after the last positive test. Officials say the median time for recovery for all cases with symptoms is 14 days, and for those who are hospitalized, the symptoms is 16 days. So that's news that we can use around the area in an effort to help keep us educated, informed, and engaged in our community so we can be empowered. I like to have guests in that come alongside of us and give us information and facts. In this particular time that we're in, we know not knowing can lead to fear, and fear can sometimes paralyze us and cause even more stress and strain in our lives. Getting the facts, understanding what's going on is so crucially important. And with us today, I'm so excited to have back in the studio. I think it was right about a month ago when all of this was breaking out. We had Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett in the studio, and we have him again today. And Chuck, I am so excited to have you here, and I want to thank you. I know you and your staff have worked tirelessly behind the scenes, remotely. I think when you were here last, you just transitioned where everything kind of was shut down and trying to figure out what this is going to look like, not sure how long it was going to be. Here we are still a month later at it, but kind of getting to be specialists at it, right, in a sense. And I've enjoyed, again, I'm going to give a shout out to Linda, your assistant there in the office, who's been so good at keeping things going, you know, behind the scenes. And I'm glad to have you here to kind of give us a state of the state as we're talking about in the national headlines and then even in the state headlines. You know, it's good to know those things, but it's even better to have someone like yourself who's on the front lines here locally that can say, this is what this looks like. And let me tell you what I'm hearing. Maybe give you a sample of what our listeners are struggling with. Within the last month, we've had several business owners in. some that are still able to operate, and some that are completely shut down, like they have a bar and grill and things like that. We've had people that are essential because they have a business that deals with finances. We had a couple that have own a pawn shop locally, and so they're doing all the measures that they can as far as social distancing and those kinds of things, and are still in operation, but things have changed drastically for them and how they do business. You know, people are concerned locally about how do we restart the economy, and in context, we were sharing before we got started about what does Salem look like? So let's refresh, and especially for our listeners that are not in Oregon, we have a lot of people that listen online. Paint a picture of what's the demographics, how the population of Salem, what does Salem look like as far as people here?
Yeah, Salem, good morning, Stacey,
yeah, good
and
morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me in.
You bet.
Just broadly, Salem is the second largest city in Oregon. We're at about 177,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
We have reasonably high poverty in Salem. Mm-hmm. Over 50% of our children in public schools are in low-income families. So that sets a certain tone in the community. We're also older. We have a much larger senior citizen population than other cities in Oregon. The result is we have some issues that are kind of colored by that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very large Hispanic population here, and substantial diversity, a large Pacific, really for our state, a large Pacific Islander community, a reasonably good-sized Asian community. So it's a very diverse community,
mm-hmm.
small African-American community, but here for a long time historically. So we have a really interesting community in that way, very high church attendance,
mm-hmm.
A lot of interest in volunteerism. We have tremendous volunteerism both in the public and kind of nonprofit sector.
Mm-hmm.
We have three live theaters, which right now are probably all padlocked.
Right.
We have really active music and arts scene here.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of the biggest art fairs in the region, which
wow.
is not going to happen this year.
Oh, wow.
The Salem Art Fair is a huge event here in town. We have a multicultural event each summer at our Riverfront Park that celebrates the diversity of our community. It's
mm-hmm.
a huge event. We have an excellent school district in Salem-Keizer School District. A
mm-hmm.
lot of creative programs, including our Career and Technical Education Center.
Mm-hmm.
Just really well done. We're the second largest school district in the state. So I think that kind of gives you a flavor of it. It's a small business community, although we do have exceptions. We've
mm-hmm.
had a traditional food processing industry here. We're in one of the most agricultural counties in the country here
mm-hmm.
in Marion County. So food processing in Salem has been a very, very major industry. It's changing. We have a metals industry here. Garmin is located here.
Mm-hmm.
We have now a major Amazon distribution center.
That's so, like city blocks. I finally discovered that. That's long.
Million square feet.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
yes.
huge. I've never seen a building quite like it. I went out and toured it before it opened. It's continuing to add employees, plus a distribution center here in Salem, other than that has the trucks and drivers,
mm-hmm.
That is now occupying the old Panasonic Sanyo building on Gaffin Road. So we have an outstanding hospital, one of the finest hospitals in the country
mm-hmm.
at Salem Health, a very skilled and robust medical community in Salem, which makes it very attractive. I think we have the busiest emergency room between Seattle and San Francisco, one of the
wow.
busiest on the West Coast. it's a real interesting place. I moved here over 50 years ago. It was about 64, 65,000 people. Mm-hmm. Streets rolled up at 5 o'clock. Just a fairly small town feeling.
Right.
It has changed. Yes. It's becoming a bigger city.
Well, and to me, you've just made the pitch as to, and at some point today, I want to talk about this and find out more as to why we should have a more vital airport here in Salem. I'm excited to learn a little more about some of those efforts
I'm
down
glad
the road
to talk about
and
it.
Connect with people on that. But with all of that, and as the mayor and the council, and even the Marion County Commission, commissioners. I mean, that's a huge responsibility when a pandemic comes into the area.
Yeah.
To think about that diversity and trying to take care of. And I know you've been in several meetings. Talk to me a little bit. We've got a few minutes here before the break of what's kind of the state of the state and what's going on each and every day to look at how can we get this back rolling again in a safe manner.
Right. Well, we have had in the past week or so, I've been attending meetings several times a week regarding this for over a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's an economic recovery issue. It's going to be challenging. You don't shut an economy down over this kind of a medical issue and then turn it right back on.
Right.
It just isn't going to work. People's confidence won't be there yet. So we've been doing a lot of work. We were waiting for the federal government. President Trump has released his outline,
mm-hmm.
his basic plan at the national level, turned it over to the governors. The governor really controls the opening and closing of categorical businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the model being used. And I think this is the where we have people kind of diverge,
mm-hmm.
Is not a fully – the impact is economic.
Right.
Okay? It is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I as mayor, I am so disappointed in what's happened as a result of this. I mean, it's in some ways really catastrophic.
Right.
And I know for individuals it really is catastrophic. But it is being treated as a medical issue,
mm-hmm.
as a health issue, public health issue, which puts it into a different category, which as it comes to local government, it really comes into the hands of the Marion County Health Department and Marion County Commission. So the county has been working really diligently in putting together, I think they're going to have a draft plan by tomorrow.
Good.
They've just been told kind of what needs to be in it. So they're taking a first run at it on how we will start reopening businesses here in Salem, which will be submitted to the governor's office, and then the discussions will occur between them. I sit in with the county and with the state on these different issues. And I tell you, a real shout out for our Marion County commissioners,
mm-hmm.
our Marion County Health Department, and particularly Commissioner Kevin Cameron. Kevin has done a superb job of rallying and focusing county efforts on getting this plan together to submit to the governor. A lot of folks send me notes saying, oh, reopen this place.
Right.
The mayor can't do that. The mayor doesn't close it. The mayor doesn't reopen it. A city government doesn't close it. What we can focus on, and I'm encouraging our leadership through the city manager to begin looking at those parts of city government we can reopen right away.
I think that's a great, great plan. We're going to come back after this break and get more into the details of that. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. Chuck Bennett, our mayor of Salem, right here in the studio with us today. Stay tuned, my friends.
Hey, yeah, you. Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you on this Thursday. It's 49 degrees right here in the KSLM Reliable News Talk studio. Gonna get up into this early 60s today with rain showers on and off the next few days, and that's easier to stay inside, I think, when the weather is a little cooler and rainy compared to how beautiful it was last week. And we've got in the studio with us Mayor of Salem, Chuck Bennett, and we were talking a little bit before the break, just the meetings and what the county is doing. And here's the thing that is a little frustrating, and I know I've heard this from our listeners, the business owners that I've worked with, is just this open ended not knowing really when can we get back to living in a sense. And I understand, and there's some folks frustrated about their constitutional rights being trampled all over. And the reality is this, is that local government, in my opinion, is the best government to make these kinds of decisions for their local community. And when you have a statewide ban and every community is so diverse and different throughout the state, it makes it frustrating. But government, our state, the county, the city, you regulate commerce. You give business licenses. You have standards to operate business in this community. And that's all a structure and an infrastructure put in for business. And so there is some oversight there, right? And certainly our county health, you know, they regulate food and public safety and all of that. And you were sharing that the commission really, and through the health department, they're coming with a plan, but you just shared with me that the frustrating part that you've had to deal with or watched, especially with the commission, is it's like all of a sudden they get this mandate that in 3 days you have to have a plan and get it back to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck. Huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, your economy shut down. Give us a, and this goes to the state,
right,
to the governor's office. I tell you, as mayor, my interest is both the health is fundamentally health, safety, and welfare of the community, and mm-hmm. that is a mixed bag.
Right.
That is both our physical health, our emotional health, our business health. It is a complicated mix, and we suddenly have competing interests here: our mm-hmm. public health, our business health, and both. Don't look so great when
right.
you get into a pandemic. The thing that has frustrated me has been a real lack of targets. Everyone talks about it being scientific, data driven. Well, what are the data points we have to hit
right.
in order to justify reopening barbershops? I say that because I looked in the mirror this morning. It's time to get back to barbershop.
I got my hair all pulled back. Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. I saw a joke recently that about one more week and there'll be virtually no blondes left in the United States. That kind of reaction. Well, it goes so far beyond that. The difficulty we each face each day, trying to figure out who's open, who's mm-hmm. not open, what are the requirements? I will tell you, though, in talking with the hospital, we have done, as a community, a fantastic job.
Yes.
The real worry a month ago was a surge coming that would overwhelm our healthcare system,
mm-hmm.
Particularly our hospitals with respirators, you know, that whole discussion of
right.
respirators. That is resolved right now.
Good.
We're at hovering at 50% of bed occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, historically at this time, it's usually 85%. So they're
wow.
actually under housing right now. They have enough PPEs, they believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeling comfortable, which is masks and gowns
right.
and all of that. They have testing available as needed, and it's working for them and their staff. The hospital's in really good shape, which was the initial discussion. If folks think back, it was all about flatten the curve so the surge doesn't send
right.
a wave over our hospitals and essentially overwhelm our healthcare system.
Exactly.
We fixed it.
Yay.
We did it. We did it by social distancing,
mm-hmm.
By being very cautious with others, by wearing masks, by washing our hands,
right.
which I know sounds odd, but you know, all of the rest of those basic hygiene issues we were told to do, we've really done it. The question now is, can we translate that into kind of our day-to-day lives more effectively so it isn't just stay home, stay healthy. It's stay within these guidelines,
mm-hmm.
stay healthy. And that goes to the business owner. That goes to me as an individual and a consumer. And that the consumer feels safe going into the business, whether it's a restaurant or a bar or a store, a retail establishment, all the different into a mall. And I think that's where the county is really going to help provide the leadership. And we will continue to be, I'll be actively involved. I think right now I'm the only mayor on the regional team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a real point of being one of the mayors present with the county commissioners. Of course, all this is happening by video and
right. And, it makes it interesting.
And telephone. Well,
our media skills are really increasing.
They're
the last
really
6 weeks.
Being the demand is tremendous, and it you're so used to sitting in a room
mm-hmm.
with people where you can read what they're thinking.
Exactly.
You know, all of those interpersonal relationships we all work on
mm-hmm.
are off the table.
Yes.
And the result is, I think it takes a little bit longer to work through some of these issues,
mm-hmm.
but we're doing it.
Good.
And I'm feeling like we are headed in the right direction, I think, but I still don't have the kind of targets and data points for Salem that will tell me specifically
right.
when Salem can reopen.
And that's a little bit of frustration.
It's very frustrating.
And some of the businesses that have applied for loans, I've talked to businesses all up and down the I-5 corridor who, mm-hmm. small businesses,
yeah.
who have done everything right away that they needed to and still no answer financially. And then I've also talked to several individuals. They've been off work for 6 weeks and maybe they've gotten a stimulus, maybe not,
yeah.
and certainly no unemployment. And this is where the rubber's going to hit the road,
well.
Where people are like, I'd rather go back to work anyway have some kind of government program to pay me. But there's some real ripple effects on rent, on all of those things that are coming down the pike. You're listening
yep.
to Reliable News Talk Radio. When we get back from this break, let's get into more of the specifics on how people can get involved and what to look for as we open things up here. Let's say sometime in May, right?
Let's just say it. Okay?
Yes, let's just say it. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in today. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together. I get to hang out with Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett, and we're talking about all things getting back to normal, whatever normal is, right? And we have so many people have been saying, get back to normal. Nothing will be normal when we get back, really.
Yeah,
I
still have trouble with the concept of new normal.
I tend to
like to think there is a normal
there. I think it's just a setting on the dryer. What do you think?
That's got to be it.
pretty much it. So, yes, we really have ourselves in a very interesting place right here in Salem. And I will say, I have been so encouraged by people. You talked about a little bit background of a lot of volunteers in Salem,
yeah.
and this really is an incredible community. And I've watched the folks at all the different organizations, Arches, downtown, working with the homeless people, with United Way, rolling up their sleeves. Even United Way, most United Way folks that I've been with around the country aren't into the direct side of things. They work with many community organizations, but they don't roll up their sleeves themselves and participate in the direct service. And Stephanie Bob and the team there at United Way that I've gotten to know, getting to know, and want to get to know even more. I'm just really impressed with how people are so innovative. What the city of Salem has done now, you've created an app that allows people to download, even from the city page, that shows where the businesses that are doing takeout orders downtown and who's doing them and how they can get their order. I just think that's phenomenal. How
yeah.
innovative and how people are really stretching themselves to think out of the box and make things happen. And we talked a little bit about before this last segment about how frustrating it is. Let's talk about some of the good things that you've been seeing and people stepping up. What kinds of things are you seeing in this community that just make you so proud to be a part of Salem?
Well, it's you're right. I mean, there are a tremendous number of both collective and individually striking and inspiring stories out there. I think the one place I think I know it gets talked about in every community, but I gotta say, the health workers in this community just deserve an incredible applause and thanks. They have done just a remarkable job. Mm-hmm. I know heroics is being said about anybody that sort of gets up and gets out of bed in the morning right now. Right. I think we all feel heroic if we're just moving around and getting stuff done. But I'll tell you, those healthcare workers who are on the front line like that, our EMTs, our firefighters, mm-hmm. who are also our emergency medical folk, our ambulance drivers, I just couldn't be more proud of them. And it has gone really well. But then you look at Union Gospel Mission work they're doing. I got a letter. I won't read it, but it's a letter from the Croc Center. The number of things going on with the Salvation Army. The tremendous work from another part of the health community that set up the Alluvium Van, which is just out there.
Oh, yes. That's wonderful. We
talked
about
drive
that
up, help you out with this COVID issue. Mm-hmm. Medical service. And then one that I have just been really taken with are the community members, sewing clubs, et cetera, who got into making masks. I know the only measure I've got directly has been I helped get the city involved in this in terms of distribution. We currently have 1,450 masks in stock that have been made, and we're passing them out in the community, starting, of course, initially with folks at nonprofits and healthcare and all those kinds of things, and we're working our way through it. In fact, if you need cloth masks, and it's a sewing groups and folks who are just doing it at home, because they got some time making these. My next door neighbor made my mask.
I love it.
Yeah, she's got some time right now. Her business has been closed, and so she's home, and she has been making masks. She puts them out in front of her house over in our neighborhood.
I love it.
It's really, excuse me, the only thing she asks is don't take the mask and try to sell it online. Just
there
take
you
it
go.
For your
yeah,
use.
Yeah, use it for yourself. And, you know, the innovative ways that people are taking their skills. And one of the things that I had, I guess I never really thought about people who sew anymore. I mean, you just go and buy things so easily. And,
yeah.
And the other thing that I've noticed through social media is how many people are sharing recipes and quick ways to cook again, because we've gotten so busy in our lives that a lot of I know when my kids were still at home, you know, I was taking five kids to five different schools,
right,
and all their activities and running my nonprofit organization and all of
your
that
taxi
kind of
service
stuff.
Yeah, and nonprofit
exactly and trying to get it all done. By the time it was dinner time and I got them all up for activities, the last thing I want to do is spend 45 minutes cooking. You know, so I'd say how I call my kids to dinner is get in the mommy van, let's go,
let's
you know,
get somewhere
find,
and
yes and so
up.
I think that's a part of our culture today.
Yeah.
You know, the eating fast food or going out to eat, and instead around the kitchen table, we're around the restaurant table a lot of times, several times a week, which affects our businesses that have restaurants, you know, of course. But people are cooking again, and they're looking for ways. And that's where I think we're seeing eggs and cheese and milk and meat and all of that a little less in the grocery store these days. But it's so good to see that people are stepping up and learning skills and stretching and helping one another, and that kindness being extended.
I just couldn't agree more. You know, there's some other things that I think I'm a really active reader and really enjoy reading. And let me just give you a couple of thoughts. I do want to, though, mention, I said I couldn't say it real quickly. The Will and Breeze Quilt and Coffee Shop provided 965 fabric masks, as well as the South Salem Sewing Group and Friends, who've had a project going. You can find both of those on Facebook.
Good.
I mentioned the nurses and the healthcare workers. It is National Nursing Week coming up, so we'll be celebrating that. It's also National Library Week, and our library's been closed through this. But just to give you our ebook and audio book circulation has increased 80% compared to March of last year. People have figured out, go online to the city library, and you can get at these services from your home and have books to read or listen to. 23,000 ebooks and audiobooks were checked up out since mid-March.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's great. And I'm really pushing hard to see if we can get that library reopened. But I think the thing that is really encouraging, I think, for us as we look forward to reopening has been how successful this community has been in the kind of voluntary stay-at-home, kind of sort of a voluntary lockdown, but nobody locked the door. And the use of masks and the social distancing and the just really thoughtful treatment of each other, particularly of our vulnerable citizens, so that we can move forward and we'll have some of the habits in place.
Right. New habits.
New habits. And I kind of like to think of that rather than the new normal. It's some new habits that go with the old normal, which is this is a great community where people volunteer and support each other, care about each other, watch out for each other. And now we'll have the habit of staying 6 feet away from each other with a mask on.
Yeah, which still is hard for someone like me who's more of a hugger and an extrovert and things. I'll have to, you know, pay more attention to that and change some of those habits. One of the things, and one of my compliments to the city of Salem, you know, it's been really confusing. In fact, it's interesting. I shared this video on my Facebook yesterday, this meme, and it was really funny. And it was this gal giving like a press conference, and she's like, and so she'd give a directive like, and you need to stay home, but unless you need to go outside and or go to the grocery store. But then when you're at the grocery store, I mean, it was all the contradictions that we've heard through the last, you know, eight weeks of do this, but don't do this, but do this. And it's like, oh, do we or don't we do it? You know, in that ambiguous state that we've been in, you know.
Yeah.
What I want to compliment the city of Salem is, and one of the directives is, get some fresh air, go outside.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, get some fresh air, go outside, but don't go to these places because they're closed down. It's so refreshing to have where, yes, there's signs at, you know, the Waterfront Park and at Bush Park that, yes, social distancing as a reminder and those things, but still, yes, you can be, and I've gone to these places, I've needed for my own mental health, the extrovert in me, and when the weather was nice, to see people, yes, they're at the park, but they are staying away from each other or they're staying within their family. You know, people are following the rules, and I guess my philosophy is let people try to do the right thing until they don't and then hamper down on them, you know, and that's the frustrating part.
Well,
in some
of this.
I think
people here, the way we've handled it, I know other communities have been different around the country and notably different, has been education, not enforcement. It's just reminding people politely and understanding that if they know the kind of what the rules are here, things will go fine. I tell you, one of the things I'm hoping to get open very early is our dog park is closed.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
You know, how soon can we agree that we can socially distance ourselves at a dog park and allow people to go out to Minnow Island with their dogs, stay 6 feet away from each other.
Right.
And let's kind of get the show on the road. I think the city really does need to kind of help lead the way in terms of what these reopenings look like. We can't order everybody. We don't have the health services. We're not the folks in charge on this, but we are in charge of ourselves. And I think we can help model what this can look like.
Well, and my hope is, and if you can give my insight or 2 cents to the governor at all, if you have any connection there, my idea is let people get back to nature. Let people opening up the parks, opening up the camping again, get the beaches open, not necessarily to hang out and have big parties, but just to get back mental health part. I think that's important. If we can start there with some guidelines and keep moving, I think we'd be better for it. We're Oregonians. We're here to connect to nature, you know? We had Earth Day yesterday. That should have been a
couldn't be
a
out
big
on
day.
The earth.
We couldn't
I'll
even
tell you,
enjoy
I think
it.
That's very high on
yes,
the governor's list,
that's
actually.
That's good. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. We're going to talk a little bit about campaigning in this situation that we're in when we come back.
morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning, Salem. It's 7:50. Together on this Thursday, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. In the studio, Mayor Chuck Bennett. We're having a great time talking about everything COVID, in a sense, and how it's upended our whole life. And it's interesting moving here in the middle of January and then connecting here with the radio station at the end of February and kicking off the show in March, and then everything goes into pandemic mode. It has been an interesting season for sure, but I have enjoyed...
Welcome to Salem. Yeah, sorry.
Welcome home, Stacey, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I have just been so incredibly impressed with the businesses and the leadership, and encouraged with people, you know. I have a way to, and I have friends, classmates, school, you know, people who have political affiliations all over the board. You know, it's not just the way Stacey thinks. It's the way, you know, there. Yeah. And I love, and I grow because I have this perspective that I think we're better. We are better together,
yeah.
You know, and I think it's getting burned out a little bit. We're in this together. Yes. Well, obviously we are. We're all going through it, but it affects us differently depending on where we're at. And of course, you know, several folks are trying to get leadership positions at the city, the council, the commission, you know, your state representatives in the Senate and the House, all the way up to the Congress races. There's a primary coming up on May 19th.
Right.
And in fact, the 28th of this month is the day to get registered. And I've been encouraging everybody to go online and make sure in their county to make sure that the registration is current, you know, because they're going to be mailing out the ballots starting on the 29th. And we're already getting voter guides if you are registered. That's one way to know too, getting your voter pamphlets and things like that in the mail. Tell me a little bit. You've got a race. Your seat is how many years? Do you
every 2 years?
Every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
You get to do it's this every 2 years.
Yeah, it's a the way the council's set up. Half the council is up every 2 years.
Okay.
Plus one. The
okay.
mayor is always up at the election, and then odd number. And even number. This year, it's the odd number councilors, 1, 3, 5, 7,
mm-hmm.
are up those seats. We have contested races in each of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have an opponent that's filed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... it's an interest. It's an important process. It
right.
gives people a chance to... to both talk to a well to talk with us, to share their opinions, their views, to register their satisfaction or dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my case, I have a wealth of experience. I've been mayor for 3 years. I've been a member of the city council for an additional 9, and then served on the budget committee, the planning commission, the library board. I mean, it's,
sure.
as you can tell, I have found city government absolutely fascinating and thoroughly enjoy it. And each of these activities, including mayor, are volunteer jobs.
That's the thing that's so amazing to me,
yeah.
because where I've lived before, that's not the case.
Yeah.
The mayor, the city council positions are reimbursed. There's funds there to pay a salary
we
for their time.
We get a sandwich
time.
At lunch
meetings. Get a little bit of the lunch.
Yeah, there's a meal.
So
I have a place to park at City Hall, and that's the But that's not why you do this work. It's not about the money.
Mm-hmm.
They can't pay somebody enough to do a job like this. It just isn't set up that way.
Right.
We have a CEO who is the city manager.
Mm-hmm.
He is paid very well to run the city on a day-to-day sort of granular operation. And then those of us who serve on the council are like a board of directors.
Right.
Now, as mayor, I have a bully pulpit. I mean, I'm not going to deny I don't have some real impact on
right.
what's going on at the city, and that when I have ideas or opinions that they're not dealt with. And the same with members of the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And some are heard clearer than others, and
right.
the mayor tends to get a fairly clear hearing from the folks that really are operating the city. So I think that's part of why I think it's really important, and this is obviously it's self-serving, but to have people that have been involved with this process.
Right.
I'm watching counselors who've not been on the council, who've not spent much time working in city issues, who just are not effective because they don't know what they're talking about most of the time.
Yes, and I've been on boards before, leadership boards and things, and people come on a board and they've never had any experience to know how that works,
yeah.
That the power is in the group decision.
Exactly.
Not an individual person does not hold the power. It's the power of the group coming
yeah.
together, unified.
It's a very good way to describe
it. Yes, and it can be waste a lot of time in a sense. And I do think it's neat that your counselor is in your position, that you don't have any economic reward in that regard, because I think it makes your commitment level, I want to see the better of my city. I want to do something good. And one of the things that is challenging right now, is there any kind of, usually you could have like a coffee, a meet and
right.
greet, you know, put up
no.
signs, those kinds of things. Are you invited to do any kind of online forums or Zoom meetings? Is there any kind of way people can watch who's being elected or up for election on city council or mayor or commission? Any of those? Are you aware of any way people can tune in?
KMUZ has done a series of interviews in cooperation with the League of Women Voters that
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're, I think they're on now, but you can certainly check in on the KMUZ website. That's
mm-hmm.
the local sort of like public radio,
right?
Community supported radio. They have a series of interviews with them. It's kind of a televised voters pamphlet. And I am.
There's definitely a need. So I'm leading up to.
There's a bunch of stuff
yes,
going on.
Yes, we're
on.
Hoping to hear, do specific interviews with
yeah.
candidates and ask questions and ask our listeners if you have questions for candidates coming up the first couple weeks of May.
Oh, great.
Right before the election, we're going to do a little more interviews, getting ideas,
sure.
trying to help in that process anyway, and then rebroadcast that and put it in podcasts so people can share it on their social media.
That's
and things
great.
Like that, because it is a challenging time, and I feel for not only the candidates but also all of the people
the
that have
public.
To make decisions.
How do you vote?
How
if
do you vote if you don't have that personal? You were talking earlier,
yeah.
even in meetings, it's hard to read people. That emotional intelligence, that gut feeling of when you meet somebody
yeah.
is so very important in an element of it.
Well, yeah, and you get to ask questions, you get to kind of say, and not just ask questions, is say, look, here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think to
right.
the candidates? Or, by the way, I don't really care what you think. I want you to hear what I think, because I don't have the same opportunity a lot
right.
of people do to come into your office and sit down and talk with you. And I have appreciated the numerous opportunities I have to get out over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of outreach. I'm in a lot of speaking to groups,
mm-hmm.
Involved with my neighborhood groups in the city, kind of you name it, I'm there. I'm a notorious ribbon cutter.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go to business openings or various nonprofit activities.
Right.
I try to be there. I think that's the kind of thing, but what I can't do this year is door-to-door, and
right.
I'm really disappointed, because that's been one of the most informative activities I've ever done in this community, has been to walk the neighborhoods and talk to voters.
Do you have a campaign website, your own personal website or a Facebook page
can
learn more about you?
Okay. I do, but I don't know it off the top of my
okay.
head. That's terrible. But you can contact me by email at chuckben, all lowercase, @me.com.
Okay.
And that's my campaign website email.
Right.
And if I knew the other, I'd say it.
Well,
it's just suddenly
get it to me and we'll get it out to
okay,
everybody.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this Thursday with Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett. Enjoyed my time with you. Will you come back and hang out with me again?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you, friends. Remember, over, under, around, or through, you're an overcomer. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you, Lord willing, tomorrow morning. Take care.